Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Todd, I know one of the big stories coming into the week is Brooks Koepka going for a three-peat, but it feels like, maybe not to people that are very into golf, it doesn't feel this way, but just the general, maybe casual golf fan, that Brooks doesn't quite have the fanfare that, you know, a three-peat U.S. Open champion might have if he gets it this week. Why do you think that is with Koepka?
Well, I think that's building. I mean, he is a no-nonsense power player. He is. I mean, he's quite the force out here. And I have seen a swelling of fans kind of gravitating towards Brooks Koepka a lot because he, you know, and he doesn't, yeah, you're right, he's not flashy, he doesn't give you a lot of fist pumps, but, I mean, he attacks the golf course with, I mean, just such severity. He doesn't lay up. He's, you know, like I said, he's a powerful player. And I don't think he's quite like John Daly was when he emerged on the scene, but he is the modern golfer. He is the athlete. He is what a lot of fans kind of say, wow, I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, 30 years ago, golfers looked nothing like this. This guy looks like he could play safety for the Falcons. So I think that he is becoming a huge star out here on the world stage.
Well, Todd, I have a quick question for you. Something I was read this morning about Jason Day hiring Tiger's old caddy, Steve Williams. Is that a big deal or just, you know, one of those things?
No, I think it is a big deal. Okay. Jason Day admitted yesterday that he has been underachieving as a player, given his talent. And you have to know Steve Williams. Steve Williams is a guy who's going to get in your face if you're his player. He's going to say, hey, you need a checkup from the neck up. Get it together, man. And I think that's what he's going to offer Jason Day. Talking to Jason Day yesterday, you always sense that he has a better attitude of what he needs to do. And, you know, that slight bit of motivation just is something positive. And when you have a caddy change, it kind of kicks you in the pants in a positive direction, especially at a major championship. So I think it's a really good move for Jason Day.
Todd Lewis joining us here from the Golf Channel. You can follow Todd on Twitter at Todd Lewis GC. Again, we were talking, Pebble Beach gets the U.S. Open about once every 10 years. And you look back through the list of guys that have won, I wonder what those guys have in common. Like, what does it take to win at that golf course?
Well, I mean, you look at the names. They are, like you mentioned, Nicklaus, Watson, Kite,
right.
Woods, and Graham McDowell. GMAC had not won a major championship prior to that victory here in 2010. But the other four, obviously, they have confidence, tremendous confidence. They have great game management. They have an understanding of this golf course. And I think more than anything, they have tremendous belief that they can win. And I think when you arrive at a major championship, specifically a U.S. Open that is generally a grind, you have to understand that you got to be patient. You got to take advantage of situations that occur. And you have to have a belief that you are the baddest cat on the golf course. And those guys I just mentioned, you know, three of them are in the Hall of Fame. Tiger Woods is obviously going to be in the Hall of Fame, so they have all that.
Oh, yeah. Well, my guy on tour has always been Dustin Johnson, and he just seems like he has all the tools, but just for some reason, it just seemed like he'll hit a bad shot, then recover, and hit a bad shot, recover, and then hit an amazing shot, and then just fall one short of winning. What are his odds this weekend? Because he's kind of like that guy you just defined.
Well, I like him here a lot. He's won the AT&T Pebble Beach twice. He's had a couple of runner-up finishes in this tournament as well. If you remember back in 2010, the year that Graham McDowell won, he had the lead heading into Sunday. Now, he melted down on Sunday, but, you know, you often learn from your mistakes. I think he's got the talent. It's just a matter of him putting four rounds together consistently, and that's the difference in him. I mean, really, to be honest with you, you can make the argument that he's underachieved in his career.
Yeah.
He's got
20
PGA Tour victories, but just one major championship, and that is the U.S. Open back in 2016. He's still in his prime, but he's not in his 20s. He's in his early 30s right now. He understands that if he wants to be remembered as a great major champion, he needs to get things going, and it could start this week.
Obviously, we are all interested in what Tiger Woods could potentially do this weekend. I know that it's a different reality now than it was in 2000 when he won the thing by 15 strokes. It's a different reality now than it was in 2010 when he was playing in that U.S. Open. What kind of chances do you give Tiger this weekend?
I really like Tiger Woods here this week more than any other major championship on the calendar in 2019. Hear me out. Here's why. Number one, comes out of a top 10 finish at Muirfield Village. Mm-hmm. He said after that he feels comfortable with where his game is. Number two, obviously he's won a U.S. Open here. He won by 15 shots in 2000,
right.
So he's got that memory. Secondly, he grew up in California. He played on these style of greens. This is a poana grass that can get bumpy. It's not like the grasses that you would see, the Bend or the Bermuda that you would see in Georgia. So he is used to playing on these surfaces, whereas probably half the field aren't quite as accustomed to it. And I just feel like he manages the game better than any other player on the world stage, and you have to do that here. You can't pull driver out everywhere. You got to hit the spot. You can't just bomb it, gouge it out of this 3 to 5 inch rough. So I think he's got the greatest mind on the world stage, and I think he's trending with his game, and he's got confidence and experience. I really like his chances. I'm not saying he's going to win, but I think he will be in contention on the back nine Sunday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is he your pick, or are you making an official pick? And if so, who would that be?
You know, I've learned in my years of being in this industry and following golf, making a pick is stupid. This is really stupid. If you go down to Vegas, let me give your listeners some advice. If you go down to Vegas and you want to bet on a winner for any tournament, much less a major championship, it is a bad bet. It is so hard to do. But I can say that I do think he is probably my favorite to, again, be in contention on the back nine. Mm.
Do you think it'll be a low score? I know generally we talk about par being a close to a winning score at the U.S. Open. It was 16 under a couple years ago at Erin Hills. Do you expect it to be right around even par on Sunday?
I expect it to be lower than we think. When Tiger won, he was 12 under,
yeah.
And the second place finisher was 3 over. I mean, he was just remarkable that week. But when Graham McDowell won here at Pebble Beach in 2010, his winning score was even par. Now, here's the thing. The USGA has received, rightly or wrongly, a lot of criticism in their course setup at the U.S. Open over the last few years, saying, you know, they push it to the extreme, and it's outrageous, mm-hmm. and it's not a true test of golf. And the players have sounded off against the USGA. So I think because of what has happened over the last few years and to kind of repair some goodwill with the players, that they're going to be a little conservative here with the setup. So I think the greens will be a little more receptive, but still you've got, like I said, thick, gnarly 3 to 5 inch rough. If you miss the fairways, you're going to pay. I'm looking at a winning score somewhere, and players are saying this too, between 3 and 6 under par.
Okay, wow. Well, I know where I'm putting my money at. This one, my last quick question for you, Todd, is what part of the golf course would probably give the golfers the most problem over this tournament?
Well, there are three holes called the Cliffs of Doom. Just first, listen to that. And they are holes 8, 9, and 10. They're three par fours. The eighth hole is a tremendous hole. You lay up to a spot with like a hybrid, maybe even iron, and then you've got anywhere from a 6 to 8 iron down a cliff onto a tiny green. Jack Nicklaus called it one of the greatest holes he's ever seen. And then you got 9 and 10, which are very difficult holes alongside the water here on the cliffs. The 10th hole is close to a 500-yard par 4. So, yeah, that stretch, 8, 9, and 10, probably be the most difficult on the golf course.
Todd, we appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
As always, we'll be tuned in and watching your coverage on the Golf Channel throughout the weekend.
Appreciate you.
Glad to be with you guys.
Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.